I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
On today's podcast, comedian and co-host of the Dude Cinema podcast, Alex J, returns to share her latest movie surprises. My name is Justin Hamilton, and we're going widescreen today on Big Squid. Thank you for joining me today, and before we go any further, I'm recording this just having heard from Rove McManus, who is at the Actor Awards. He texted me to tell me that Annie Lindner's SBS show A Beginner's Guide to Grief has won the Actor Award for Best Digital Series or Channel, and I just couldn't be happier for her. I'm so rapt. If you watched Annie's series, please give her a shout out online. It's such a wonderful show. And as you well know from her two appearances on this podcast, it was also a very personal one too. So a big shout out to Annie. Well done. You and the team have been doing fantastic work, and I'm rapt to hear that it has been recognized by the actors. And if you haven't checked it out, head over to SBS and watch it immediately. It's fantastic. It's short. You'll be able to do it all in one sitting, and it's just wonderful. So I can't wait to see what Annie does next. Okay, a heads up for the rest of the year. I worked out this morning that by the end of 2022, I'll have produced over 100 Big Squid podcasts. I've been a guest on numerous other podcasts. I've helped produce over 160 episodes of television, maybe even a little bit more, written 3 short stories and 16 blogs. I also created a brand new solo stand-up show, performed at numerous gigs, and I've also written a few other projects that are too early to mention right now. And while doing all of that, I managed to turn 50 and produce what some people are calling the greatest live podcast of all time. Yep, the bit that you heard, that was pretty good, and there was the bit that was only for the room. And anyway, I don't know if anyone's saying that, I'm just talking it up. So with that in mind, I feel pretty good about how I've held up, to be honest. I feel not too bad. Like I'm tired, like I'm definitely tired, but who isn't tired at this time of the year? So I just feel like everyone else. So that feels like a win. But what I'll be doing is I definitely need to take a break over Christmas and early in the new year. It'll be a little bit like the start of this year where I came back, you know, around, you know, mid to late-ish January. What was it? Was it mid-January? Can't remember. The start of the year feels 12 months ago. Anyway, I definitely need some time to refresh. And I need more information going into the noggin. It's like I need to refuel. I need to read. I need to watch. I need to daydream. That's the worst thing about working like this. It is not having any time to just not think about anything. And weirdly, that's the best time to come up with ideas and just kind of let the brain reset a little bit. So I need a bit of daydreaming time. So what we'll do is we'll take a few weeks off, and then I'll be back, as I said, at some point in January. And I'll tell you what I have lined up for the start of next year in the next couple of weeks. There's going to be some things that I would like you to give me your opinions, and you'll be able to do that through the Patreon. I should say, for the Patreon subscribers, there's still some podcasts coming your way over that break, so keep an eye out for them. And also, while I think about it, thank you to everyone who voted on the latest poll I put up. So, Mum, who isn't a Star Wars fan, turns out she loved Andor. Like, loved it. Like, just thought it was one of the best TV shows that she saw this year, and she's not wrong. I think it was fantastic as well. And, you know, from all reports, it's the lowest watched Star Wars product to come out. And I reckon that's because it's actually really good. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's actually really good. So a lot of Star Wars fans can't get their head around it. Like, it's got moments of pure poetry in the script, and it's thrilling, and it has characters that have to make really tough decisions and are morally grey, and there's no black or white to who is someone you can root for and who's someone that you can be completely against. And it's just really good. And I think it's too rich for some people, you know? It's like, I think I may have said this somewhere on a podcast or maybe even online, but if you keep feeding people pies, like really shitty pies, like fucked pies, like pies that have been overcooked and are burnt, and the only way you can eat them is to douse them in condiments. If you feed people that all the time, and then one day you serve them a beautiful souffle, it's going to be too rich for their palate. And so I feel like that with Star Wars. I feel like we've been fed a lot of shit. And, you know, now here's something that is fantastic. Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoy The Mandalorian. I enjoy The Mandalorian a lot. But this is actually really good, properly good. So anyway, Mum's not a Star Wars fan, but she did love the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. So I suggested that maybe she check out Andor. And then we had a little poll over at the Patreon site where I asked everyone whether Mum should watch Rogue One now. You know, over Christmas, I'll head back to Adelaide and spend a bit of time with her, and I thought, oh, maybe we could watch Rogue One, or maybe we should wait until Season 2, which comes out in 2024. And it was essentially a 75% yes to watching it now, but I tell you what, the 25% who said no were really convincing, so I'll have to think this one through. It was a really great and interesting to hear everyone talk about it. And everyone had really, really good thoughts on why you should and shouldn't. But anyway, I'll be putting up some more polls over the festive season, and these will lead into what I'm going to be doing early in the new year. But we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. Before we get into this, I mentioned the Patreon, and one of the things that you get when you sign up is you have an episode that is dedicated to you. And today's shout out goes to Jess Cohen Cornelius. Yes, Jess, it's you. She is not only a new Patreon subscriber and a Gun TV producer, but also a good friend of mine. It's too much. I work with Jess, and then she signed up for the Patreon, and it's, you know, it's very sweet. I feel like I have to give a little bit extra because she puts up with me all the time. I work with Jess on the great ABC show Question Everything. We've had a really fantastic season. And for those of you overseas, it's a TV show here in Australia that brings a broad range of comedians together to tackle misinformation in the media. And it's a really funny show. And we created our first season in lockdown, and it was really hard, and I was really proud of everyone. But this season, we had more access, and we were able to really get it rolling, and I think we did some really great work this year, and we unearthed some new talent, and we reminded you about some older talent that you may not have seen for a while. But anyway, This episode's all about you, Jess. Thank you for being a supporter of our work here, but also thanks for being a great work collaborator. Sorry I disappeared from the end of year party, but look, there's a point as an old man where you know you're having a great time, and if you have one more drink, you'll end up on a heart bum machine for the next month. And as the great philosopher and butler Alfred Pennyworth once said, know your limits, Master Wayne. Jess, enjoy the summer break and be careful out there in the parks with the kids. That equipment can be dangerous. A little in-joke there just for Jess. Anyway, if you'd like to sign up to the Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you can gain access to ad-free and bonus podcasts, scripts, discounts for live events, you receive shout-outs and access to our private Facebook page, and you can also take part in helping craft certain episodes here. So head to patreon.com/JustinHamilton_BigSquid, and you'll find a tier that suits you, and all of that goes towards helping maintain the production of this podcast. It all goes back into this, and so you can hear your money's work. Okay, let's bring in my good pal, Alex J. I love these episodes. I really love catching up with her and finding out which movies took her by surprise while she's been co-hosting her podcast, Dude Cinema. Let's get Alex and bring her in now. So apart from having a mild nervous breakdown when you said to me off air that you hadn't been back since March, because it only feels like it felt like a few months. But
a few
not,
months. I would have guessed August.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, it was March.
So you are long overdue to be back on the show, because even though I'm not quite sure what this segment is called, mm-hmm. it is one of my favourites that we do.
Cool. Let's call it something real, real snappy, real easy.
Surprise five.
Alex's movies that she did on her podcast that surprised her that she liked them because she didn't think that she would. There you go.
We can that's great.
Anachronize that. It'd be really easy.
Yep. If someone's listening, that can send
put
us the
graphics
acronym.
Graphics into that.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Just fit it into a thumbnail if you can.
If you have time, person that I don't know who you are, if you can make the little image of Alex saying that and me being crushed underneath the acronym.
Yes. Oh, that would be perfect.
Me trying to hold up the acronym.
I think this person's name is Jerry. That's who we're talking to. Jerry, the graphic designer.
Come on, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
I know you can do it, so thank you very much. More importantly, The Ladies' Guide to Dude Cinema, which you host with our pal Beck Charwood.
Mm-hmm.
200 episodes.
We sure did.
That's exciting.
200 dude movies.
That's like, look, I was kind of focusing more on the 200 podcasts, but it is 200 dude movies, isn't it?
We focus more on the amount of movies we've had to watch.
Wow. What do you reckon your percentage of, so 200 movies that dudes bang on about?
Mm.
What do you reckon? Is it 50-50 that you've enjoyed? Is it 75-25?
I'd say 70-30, not enjoyed to enjoyed.
Yeah.
Mostly not enjoyed. But that's the point. That's why we did it, because we don't normally like these movies, so we're trying to find those diamonds in the rough.
So that's 140 movies that you
that
have not enjoyed. But when you say not enjoyed, there's gradients.
There's levels, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Also, I just wanted to note that it's now called just the Dude Cinema Podcast, not the Ladies' Guide to. I did not expect you to be aware of our rebrand. It's just we did that because we realized that the Ladies' Guide to Dude Cinema, like the graphic that Jerry will be making for us, is quite a long title.
Right.
And it's not snappy. Oh. So we've changed it just to Dude Cinema.
That's funny, because I'd seen Dude Cinema written online, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I just figured
That was shorthand. It was for many years, and then we decided to
now it's just
lean
hand.
Into it. Yeah.
I did think of you just the other day, because the new Steven Spielberg movie is coming out, The Fabelmans, with Michelle Williams and Paul Dano.
I've not even heard of this. We love those two people.
And it's very much his story about falling in love with cinema as a child.
Okay.
Normally, I am not really for those types of movies. You know, people, you know, like anyone talking about their love of the thing that they are successful
that
at is a bit like, Sure, mate.
Yeah.
No worries.
Of course you love it.
Yeah.
You're doing it and you're wildly successful at it.
Yeah. It's like when I go and see a stand-up show and someone bangs on about their, this is my dream job. Great.
Oh, yuck. I hate hearing that. Hate your job like the rest of us.
Yeah. And also, like, good on. You're doing it.
Yeah.
We're here.
There you are. Go on.
Say something. Say something interesting. Anyway, friends have said that as well. But anyway. I'm curious to see this movie because I love Spielberg. But the reason I thought of you and Beck was that the Ritz Cinema is putting on some of the classic Spielberg films.
Ooh.
And there were movies that I know that the two of you didn't quite enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what it would be like for you to see something like in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Cinema experience.
At the Ritz with people.
Okay. When's that?
Like December.
Ooh, that's actually perfect timing. Oh, no, I won't spoil it. We've got, because our 4-year anniversary is coming up at the beginning of February.
Yep.
So we've got a few fun episode ideas for that. So that might actually tie into our plans for that.
Yeah. Maybe we should do something. Maybe the three of us should go. Because I saw Raiders as a kid when it came out.
Yeah, okay.
So I was sitting in the cinema and I was even blown away by the moment that the Paramount mountain faded into the mountain. I was like, what is happening? I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So normally it's that thing and then something else happens.
Okay, well, if we see it together, I expect you to be like, whoa, audibly in the cinema when that happens. I need you to recreate that moment for us.
I'll do the whole thing. You'll get the two jiggy legs going up and down through all the exciting moments.
Chucked up, smeared everywhere.
I was very good at sticking all that food in my mouth.
Straight
it did
down.
Not go anywhere
yeah.
else.
I had a similar childhood, yeah.
Before we get into the movies that have taken you by surprise, how many do we have today?
Oh, so last time I came, like the last few times I've like listed them and ranked them.
Yep.
And I didn't do that this time.
Yep.
I just went through all of the movies we've done since March. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 that I was surprised by since March.
All right. Oh, that's good.
So others that I have liked, but I was expecting to like them.
Right.
Like we did say Team America World Police. I knew I was going to love that one.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff. So I didn't bother including those. Only the ones that have surprised me.
That's a funny movie.
That's a great movie.
Like, you know, I think I've told you that when I, and people who have heard this podcast have heard me tell this story on stage, but when I saw... when I went to the two premieres of Interstellar back to back.
Yeah.
And the second time I saw it, because nobody knows that. I'm 100% convinced that you've seen Interstellar, haven't you?
I have not.
Let's move on.
It's on our list.
No. Let's move on. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Everyone who's listening to this, you know the routine I was about to tell.
Okay.
All of you listening, you know exactly the story, and we will get back to this.
Okay. So
Alex.
I'll make an admission that between now and the next 6 months, we'll do Interstellar, so that can be on my list for next time.
Just so I can tell this throwaway story.
Perfect. All right. Let's bookmark that. I can't wait.
Before we get into it, just briefly, have you seen any movies at the cinema that you've enjoyed, not enjoyed?
Look, I'm not a big, as is canon with our podcast, I'm not a big cinema girl. I really much prefer to watch the movies in my own house with a pausing apparatus available. But I get it. My partner is a big, I want to see this in the cinema guy.
He's a cameraman.
He's a cameraman. That's right. Yeah, he's a cameraman. He's in the industry. He loves all that stuff. So it was very unfortunate we didn't get to see Dune in the cinema. He had to watch that at home, which was really like that just devastated him. He was so excited for Dune.
Was he away working or something?
I think we just ran out of time or something.
Can you say to him from me, like, I feel his pain because that was beautiful.
Okay, I might not tell him that. I might tell him, well, hey, babe, guess what? It actually sucked in the cinema.
You know what? I like...
It was racist somehow.
It was... the cinematography was racist. You know what you could do if you wanted is get on to mail outs to Ritz and things
smart.
Like that. And then when it's coming up, surprise him.
Oh, that's nice. That would be a nice thing for me to do.
Because it will come out again.
They will redo
because the sequel will come out. So it will
of
be re-released. So...
That's a really nice thing for me to do. Thank you. And I'm going to take full credit for that when it happens.
Absolutely. At the wedding, feel free to just drop that somewhere important, like in the nuptials.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to say to you, I've seen quite a few films at the cinema recently, and it's been all the small ones that I've loved.
Great.
Banshees of Inisherin with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, directed by and written by Martin McDonagh, who made In Bruges. Have you seen In Bruges?
Not seen In Bruges.
Yep, so that was great. The two big blockbusters that I saw, I had the complete opposite reactions to. I saw The Rock in Black Adam, and I walked out of that movie feeling concussed. I just hated it.
Oh,
no. And it was so loud and relentless, and I thought it was awful.
Bummer.
And then I saw Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which it has flaws, but the flaws come from the fact that the leading man died in pre-production.
Yeah, right.
Like, they had a completely different story, and they had to completely rewrite it.
Wow.
And they had to put in a completely new story, and they had to change the storylines of other characters, and that is not an easy thing to do.
With a Marvel film?
With a Marvel film, because you have to keep everything else
It's so intricate.
And then on top of that, I think this is the thing that people forget about. They're all grieving, because that was their friend.
Yeah.
That was their peer.
Yeah, I didn't think
so of they're grieving while they're doing all of this. And I thought it was pretty spectacular.
What a process. Okay, great. Cool. Yeah. I had high hopes for that one. I loved the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's saturated in grief, but it's earned within the storyline. It never...
Oh, good.
It's never...
Does he die in the storyline?
Like, do you want to know?
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
All right, spoilers for a second. By the time I put this up, which will be in a couple of weeks, you know, if you were going to see it, you were going to see
it. Would have already seen it.
You know his sister, Shuri? It starts with her trying to save him. He's got a disease of some sort. You don't see him. She's trying to save him. She's doing all this stuff. And then the Queen, Angela Bassett, comes in and says, he's gone. So that's the start of the film.
Whoa.
And then you get a funeral. And
the film is grieving him as the production is actually grieving
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. And so, you know, like, I've seen some criticisms that I don't necessarily disagree with. There's, you know, there's the typical Marvel thing of, why is that character in here?
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
But
That's my constant experience when watching Marvel. I'm like, who's that? Why is that person here? Who's this?
Does that person need to be in now? Like, I personally
Am I attaching myself to this person emotionally yet? Oh, no, they're gone.
Well, you know, I like, maybe that character wouldn't have felt as sandwiched in the previous version of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you have to add this other storyline that was not there, it's, you know. But anyway.
Just,
And you know what? Just seeing a lot of fucking tough women. Like, it's just, it's chock full of great women.
Nice.
Just, and like, when the credits go at the end, the first, 12, 13 people mentioned, it's only two men.
Love
it's
that.
It's a big Marvel blockbuster that's made, like, $400 million in its first 10 days.
Oh, my goodness. Is this cast or crew?
What do you mean? Oh, it's all cast. Like, it's like Lupita Nyong'o. It's Letitia Wright. It's Daniela Guerrero. You know, it's all
amazing.
It's Angela Bassett. It's, you know, so.
Okay, yeah, we have to do
anyway.
It.
All right. Let's get to your list.
Yes.
So we're going to go in, this time we're going in chronological order. Is that right?
Yes, that's actually, yes.
So what month was this?
All right, so let's start from the bottom. So, this is actually all kind of recently in the last few months. We had a run of movies that we fucking loved. This one, I don't know where you stand on this movie, but I assume it's positive because that's the consensus in the whole entire world. Top Gun Maverick.
Yes.
Did you like?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I don't give a shit about Top Gun.
Same.
And honestly, only went to see this because I had one of those New South Wales passes that was about
called?
You know, the go to the cinema or the restaurant
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know what? Like, if I'm going to see it, and I knew that they had filmed
for free.
Yeah, but I also knew that they'd filmed in planes.
Yes.
So I was like, well, if I'm going to see it, I may as well see it on the big screen.
Absolutely. That's when, yes, Luke did convince me that that needs to be done at the movies.
Yeah.
And I needed to anyway because we wanted to do it as it came out for the podcast. Yeah.
And, you know, in many ways it's – you. I don't know about you, but pretty much from the start you can work out what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing surprising about the film at all.
Sure, yeah.
But it is – there was just something – you know, it was the perfect antidote – to Marvel films that undercut every moment with quips and you know, lines and serious moments.
Cameos.
That there was just something sincere and traditional about this film that I just found to be a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Like if it had come out when it was meant to come out, maybe in 2019, maybe I don't enjoy it as much.
Interesting.
But coming out now, was it just felt like an old movie experience, and I honestly thought the Val Kilmer stuff was handled really well.
Yeah.
And I just had a really good time.
Yeah, fuck yeah. It's such a good time of a movie. Because I'm the same. Like, I don't have an opinion on Top Gun. I actively disliked the original Top Gun.
Yeah.
It was actually the second movie we ever did for the podcast.
Was
the original Top Gun. We did Indiana and then Top Gun and Silence of the Lambs. They were our first three episodes. So we, I was like not looking forward to it. I was worried because I'm also historically not a Tom Cruise fan.
Yeah.
I find him creepy and smarmy and I don't find him charming. And so I was like, I'm not going to like this movie at all. And literally as soon as the first beat started and what that Hans Zimmer fucking score came over, and it was basically shot for shot of the same opening from the 80s version, I was just like literally over, I felt it physically. I was overwhelmed with joy and anticipation. And that never happens in movies for me anymore. So
yeah, great.
Yeah, you're right. It was a breath of fresh air because every other blockbuster at the movies these days, I know this is old news, but it's Marvel. Yeah. And it made me love Tom Cruise. I knew all of the lore going into it about how, he insisted that they record everything real, like IRL up in the planes and everything. So I appreciated that going into it. But I was just like, I don't know, I love this new act. Whatever this new act in Tom Cruise's life is, that's where I come into Tom Cruise fandom, I think. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how I feel about the man, but there's some. Thing about his acting is that. So I love the Mission Impossible films. I think I think they're just fun.
We have never done the mission. We have not even done Mission Impossible yet, and we're 200 movies in. That's how many dude movies there are in the world.
You know, I think they kind of get better as they go along. I think the first one's good. The second one is the floundery one. The third one kind of finds its rhythm and it goes from there. There's something interesting about him in that, for me, he can hide in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people who can't watch a Tom Cruise movie because they hate him so much. But for me, I'm indifferent to him, and he can be in a scene and it's almost like he's a part of the aesthetic rather than standing out to me.
I'm watching Tom Cruise. Yeah,
and that to me is his superpower as an actor, you know.
I see that.
How'd you feel about Miles Teller walking around without a shirt on?
Well, Miles Teller is the official boyfriend of the Dude Cinema podcast since that movie. We're obsessed.
I had a feeling.
Oh, my God. And when he's singing Great Balls of Fire and he's all sun-kissed and the aviator guy.
He's got some dad issues.
Dad issues.
He's got mum issues.
It's perfect.
Yep.
Mum's dead. Dad's dead.
You know.
Sexy as fuck.
I reckon Glenn Powell, you know, is the, who's the guy who's like his
rival.
Yeah.
He's great.
You know, you get cameos by John Hamm. John Hamm's great in that role.
John Hamm's there not as a comedic performance at all whatsoever.
Yeah. Ed Harris comes in for a little bit of stuff and he's perfect.
Ed Harris plays a generic authority figure,
As always. Jennifer Connelly is still smoking hot.
She's, everything about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the beach scene.
Which they had to film twice.
I read that.
Yeah.
They all, and then after they filmed the first one, they all went and like had gorged lasagna themselves. And, stuff. And then Tom was like, actually, we're going to do it again. You got to go strip down for another week.
Back in the gym. Pumping iron. So
yeah,
funny.
It was just like that. It just gave me nostalgia for an era of films that I'm not even a fan of.
Yeah.
Like that. But it just, it, everything it did, it wanted to do, everything it wanted to elicit, was there for.
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. Do you know the alternate way you can watch it? Have you heard of this?
No.
So you can just, look, I think the movie is the movie, and that's part of its charm. It is what it is.
Sure.
But you know there's the Quentin Tarantino rant about the first Top Gun being a gay analogy of because it's all about, you know, you can ride my tail and you know.
I've not heard that.
You have to look that up.
Okay.
It's great. It's in a movie and it's Tarantino doing a very Tarantino-esque bit. It's
monologue,
not a Tarantino movie.
Okay.
It's in another movie.
But he's in
He's in it playing
doing a Tarantino
kind of playing himself, and he's talking about, you know, like Iceman's gay and he's trying to get Maverick to join his side and Maverick's off, and it's just a funny reading of Top Gun.
Cool.
Well, you can do it with this film, but it's not gay. What you can do is, so I've heard that at the start, when that plane gets to Mach 10.3, if he ejected, he'd be soup.
Oh.
He would be, there would be nothing left.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's not landing on the ground.
Yeah.
He's vaporized.
There's
nothing left. So you could also view this as a death dream. just as he's flicking out, he's making everything right with, you know, his best friend's son, and you know,
I can see that.
I don't think that's what the movie is.
No, but I like it.
But it's, you know,
yeah,
it's a fun way to rewatch it.
Definitely.
All right, great. That's great. All right, what's your number two surprising
next,
film?
A Fish Called Wanda.
Ah, interesting. I have not seen that since I've weirdly only ever seen it once.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'd watched it when I was a kid. I remember Mum and Dad used to watch it a bit.
Yeah.
And this was brought to us by our guest Anthony LoCascio, a Sydney comedian.
Yep.
It's one of his favourites. And
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Anthony doesn't seem old enough for A Fish Called Wanda.
He's just got beautiful skin. He's basically my age. we found out.
Right.
No, he's a little younger. I think, anyway. So I wasn't expecting to like it just because I just have a prejudice, as I've said before on this podcast, of anything that's too old. I'm just I just know I'm not going to get invested in this. But oh my God.
Usually harder with comedies too.
And with, for example, we just did Caddyshack and did not enjoy it because it's not for us.
Yeah.
It's not for us now. It's for people back when it was made, comedy-wise.
I've got to be honest. There's bits of Caddyshack that I like, but I was never really a Caddyshack guy. I have to be honest as well. I'm not really a Fish Called Wanda guy. Like, I thought it was funny, but have never felt an urge to rewatch it.
I would recommend a rewatch.
Okay,
great. I think some of its comedy, a lot of its comedy still really holds up, and it's so funny. I can't remember if it was this one where there's some improvised scenes potentially, but it's just Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Is so funny.
Kevin Kline.
He won an Oscar for it.
He oozes.
It's like one of the
charm.
And I think it's one of the only Oscars awarded to a comedy film.
Yeah.
And John Cleese is fantastic, and he wrote it, I think.
Yeah.
So it's got that kind of Monty Python esque whimsy, but it's very much set in reality, which I enjoy. But yeah, it's fucking funny. It holds up.
Just in case anyone wondered if they've never heard of it before or wondered if it was a hit, its budget was $7.5 million.
Oh, wow.
Do you know how much it made?
How much?
188.6.
Whoa!
This is 1988. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is...
Holy shit.
Like, that's a return.
That's crazy. So it's not even one of those ones that became a cult following.
It was
popular.
Yeah, it was a hit right from the get-go.
Yeah. But yeah, that's really funny.
Do you know much about John Cleese now?
I follow him on Twitter. I know he's not super beloved anymore. He's made a couple of wrong steps here and there.
It's always so hard because... in many ways, I feel like, you know, this is the hard thing about comedy, is because it's always moving forward. Mm. And I kind of think it doesn't matter if you lament that you can't do certain things anymore.
Mm.
It's moved on.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Like,
yeah.
And I just don't quite
That's his main thing, is that he's lamenting that comedy, like, you can't say this anymore, yeah, type stuff.
But you can.
You totally can.
Everyone says everything.
Yeah.
Like that's the ridiculousness of it all, is if you just ignore Twitter. Like, you know who did some sold out shows last week?
Mm.
What's his name that got cancelled? I'm just trying to blank
Isaac
his name.
Butterfield.
Sorry? Yeah.
No, oh, Louis C.K.
Yeah, Louis C.K.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And I knew, and I know quite a few comedians who went, who all.
So do I.
Who told me, oh yeah, can you not tell anyone? But I went and saw Louis C.K. And then you say, oh yeah, what'd you think? Oh, it was brilliant.
It was amazing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I was in a green room the other day, and there was a group of dudes who had been to see it, and I was just kind of in the side on my phone, but like overhearing them talking about how good Louis was, and I think it was a little bit in hushed tones because I was in the room.
Yeah.
But I was like, boys, come on, own it.
If that's, own it.
I don't think I've said it here, but I've definitely said on my own podcast before, I was a massive Louis C.K. fan. Like, he was one of the reasons I started stand-up. Like, that's that kind of story for me. And I grieved heavily, because it's all about me, when he did what he did, or when it came out. Because I was like, I'm going to miss enjoying this man. But yeah. How do we get John Cleese?
No, it's interesting though. I think it's an interesting thing, and
It's a hot topic at the moment because he just toured. So
I think, you know what, I kind of respect those guys for talking about it in hushed tones and not being brazen.
I do too. I thought it was funny. I was like, I'm not going to be like, you guys fucking went to Louis. Oh my god, you're the worst. You're not allies. Like, no, of course.
It'd be funny if you did it that way.
That would be funny.
Yeah. I'd be totally into that. All right, movie number three.
Ex Machina.
Oh.
Now, this is a bit of it. I wasn't super surprised that I liked this because I had seen it before many years ago and I remember liking it. But coming back into it, I was worried that it might not hold up to
memory. Is that a – I guess that that's interesting. Is that a dude movie? Because it feels like, I guess it's a nerdy dude movie.
Yeah, well, dude cinema. The
nerdy duty movie.
The nerdy duty. We love them.
Yeah.
We love the nerdy movie. Duties. We kind of define dude cinema as any movie that a dude has been like, you have to see this movie, it's so good.
Right.
So that's why, like, A Fish Called Wanda still, like, comes into that, because Anthony Licaggio had made his girlfriend watch it very recently.
Right.
And she didn't like it, which was very funny. So I definitely have been told to watch Ex Machina by many, many dudes before, and that's why I originally watched it.
Yeah.
And I was worried it wouldn't hold up, but it really does. I loved it.
Yeah. Are you an Oscar Isaac fan?
Big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a beautiful Oscar Isaac film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I tried to watch I watched 4 of the 6 episodes of Moon Knight, and I love Oscar Isaac.
It's a Marvel series.
Yeah. And it's Ethan Hawke, who I love, and Oscar Isaac that I love. And I got to 4 episodes. There was only 2 to go, and it's like, I'm watching heaps of good stuff. I can't even bring myself. So
this is not worth my time.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Domhnall Gleeson as well.
He's so good.
Yeah.
I've recommended this on my own podcast so many times, but have you seen the show? It's a Disney Plus show with him and Steve Carell called The Patient.
Oh, no. Yeah, I have seen it there.
I really recommend it.
Yeah, great.
I've
heard really good things about it.
So fucking good.
Yeah.
And that's the only other thing I'd ever seen Domhnall Gleeson in before.
Yeah.
And he really gets to shine in this because he's this isn't spoiling, but he's the villain in The Patient.
Yeah.
Whereas in Ex Machina, he was just kind of the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's fantastic.
It's a really good film. Also, it was the first time I'd seen Alicia Vikander in anything before.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen her in anything.
Has she been in something else recently?
She was Tomb Raider, the remake of Tomb Raider. Let's have a look what she's been in recently. She was in The Green Knight. She was in Tomb Raider. I've already said that. What else has she been in? She was in Jason Bourne.
Oh, that might be what I was thinking of.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
It felt like she was about to be pretty big, and then she's made heaps of things since then, but it's funny, it's not quite hasn't quite gotten there. But I don't think that's anything on her. You know, you just need a bit of luck sometimes. Like Tomb Raider felt like it was a smart move.
Yeah,
and they just didn't quite get there. But this is a good film. It's a sci-fi film, and it's
I don't normally like sci-fi at all.
Yeah, right.
But I found this riveting. Yeah. Just the storyline of it, so engaging. Yeah. I love anything like psychological thrillery.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on until the last moment, that kind of shit.
You know, pretty small budget for a sci-fi film, $15 million. So it's very contained, isn't it? And it has that amazing scene where Oscar Isaac is dancing with all the colours going.
The dancing scene. Yeah. Ugh.
And he's kind of got a bit of a dad bod, hasn't he?
He works out and stuff, but yeah, he's big.
Yeah.
He's chunky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So seeing a chunky guy move nicely is
like... with this beautiful disco dancing. Yeah. I loved it.
That's great. You say you don't like sci-fi. I can't remember. Where do you stand on Star Wars?
Oh, I hadn't seen it till the podcast and it was fine.
Fine.
Yeah. I will never watch anything of it ever again. But it was fine. I didn't hate it.
I'm, I have to say, as just a half-hour show, I really enjoy The Mandalorian. Because I
heard many good things.
That Yoda, Baby Yoda, is, you know what? It was, especially when it came out, was like, oh, it's cute. And the Mandalorian never takes his helmet off, so he could be anyone. So you just have a good time.
That's cool.
That's fun. But I'm halfway through the TV series Andor, which I had no interest in watching.
Heard about that.
And then
too.
I found out Tony Gilroy made it, and Tony Gilroy made the Bourne movies, wrote the Bourne movies. He made the George Clooney movie Michael Clayton with Tilda Swinton, and I really loved Tony Gilroy. And I was watching, and so I'm halfway through the first season of that, and really loving it. Like it feels like
I've actually heard really good things.
It's like grown up Star Wars, and of course, it's the one that's being the least watched because it's good.
Yeah,
but there's little moments where one of the someone who works for the Empire. You can work out his family dynamic immediately, where he's trying to put on a belt and he can't get it to strap around, and he complains that they've done something to it. Mm-hmm. And his wife says, well, maybe you've been eating a lot. And then his son doesn't want to go to this function, and he's obviously got consumption problems, and he complains that it's sick. And you know what? It doesn't sound like much, but you just don't get that in Star Wars films. And you immediately
really good storytelling in a quick moment. Yeah,
yeah. I immediately know that family. Like, this is the first time I met them, and I'm going, he's been here for a while. He's trying to move on. She doesn't want to be there. This place is affecting her son. He's quite clearly getting fat living here and not really putting himself out. He's getting annoyed that they're...
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
And I love that.
So it's just...
being able to... Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you just, you know...
to tell so much.
Yeah.
Exposition. Because that's what I find so much with some of these movies. It's just like there's either too much exposition that it's boring or not enough exposition and I'm like just lost for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I love those moments.
Yes, yeah.
So that is good storytelling right there.
Okay. What's your next film? Oh, by the way, I love Ex Machina as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just great movie. So this one was brought to us by a guest, Sydney comedian Suren Jayamana.
Suren.
We love Suren. He brought us an Indian film called The Lunchbox.
Oh, I don't know this one.
Oh, I think you'd love it.
Okay, let's look it up.
Not to dude it right now, but
no,
think you would love The Lunchbox.
Yep.
I'd never heard of it, and because it's an interesting foreign film, so that doesn't come across my desk very often.
Oh, yeah. It's Irfan Khan in the lead.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Who I think Christopher Nolan tried to get into Interstellar in a role. So there you go.
How interesting.
Yeah. So, sorry, tell us about The Lunchbox.
So The Lunchbox is a very simple concept, but it's basically like it's a romantic drama film. There's lighthearted elements of comedy. But it's a feel-good movie, but not everything is always amazing. The sad moments. It's just a real lovely tapestry of all the good emotions from, and it's just nice sometimes when someone brings us a movie that's not a big shoot 'em up action movie and you can really sink your teeth into like the storyline and the characters.
Yeah.
So that's what this movie is. So basically it's about So there's this service in India, it's set in Mumbai. There's a service where it's got a name, but I can't remember what it is.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I can read it to you if you like.
Yes,
the Dabbawala.
Dabbawala, yeah.
Dabbawala.
Dabbawala.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yep.
It's a service.
It's a lunchbox delivery and return system that delivers hot lunches from homes and restaurants to people at work in India, especially in Mumbai.
Yes. And so it's just this guy on a bike. Like, many, many people do this service.
Yeah.
But it's a guy on a bike. He picks up your lunch from your house, like just before lunchtime. So it's basically like you're already at work. Your lunch is being prepared by your wife or whatever at home. It's hot. It's in this really cool, like Indian lunchbox, which has got like it's long and cylindrical, and there's four different sections in it, and they all go on top of each other.
Yeah.
And so then the delivery guy picks up like hundreds of these and then delivers them to all the different office buildings over Mumbai, and then picks them up later and takes them back to the house. So I think Saran said that they do something like 6 million deliveries a week or something crazy, and it's the most intricate and precise system. Harvard apparently studied it because it's so – like they make one mistake a month out of 6 million or whatever.
Right.
It's incredible. Wow. So it's set on that. And so it's about this guy who's getting he's single. He's an older man, single, at his office job. He gets his – lunch delivered from a restaurant,
yep,
and accidentally this other guy's lunch starts getting delivered to him, and we then meet the wife of the other guy who's in an unhappy marriage at home making the lunch, and so then they start communicating through this incorrect delivery.
Oh.
And it's lovely.
Yeah, that does sound lovely.
But the system is just like such an interesting thing to think about when you're watching it, and I think it's really beautifully written. It's not crazy heavy dialogue. It's a lot of beautiful just moments, and the score's lovely.
I'll have to check that out. I'm always excited to hear. How did you find it? How did you watch it?
SBS.
Great. Because do you find when you're trying to watch foreign films, it's really hard to find them here in Australia because they're tied up with so many different...
Right. I would love to say I watch enough foreign films to have an opinion on how hard it is to find them.
Well, you know, I know you don't... you're not married to the cinema experience, but a film that I'd been wanting...
That's a really nice way of saying it. Thank you for succinctly describing that. That's what I'll use next time someone asks me to go to the movies. Yeah. Look, I'm not married to the cinema experience.
Yeah, I'm happy to go on a date with it, but I'm not married to it. Yeah. I'm not going to be faithful to the cinema experience.
I'll take it till lunch. Yeah. Sure,
We'll stay in touch, but don't ask any more of me. Like, geez, why are you so needy, cinema?
Cinema is very needy.
And I am happy to fill those needs. Yeah. I'm here for your cinema.
You are married. You are till death do us part the cinema experience.
I'm spooning the cinema. That's right there. Whatever you need, cinema. But a movie that I'd always wanted to see was In the Mood for Love, which is a movie from 2000, which is a romantic drama written, produced and directed by Wong Kar-wai. And it's a story about... a man and a woman whose spouses have an affair together and who slowly develop feelings for each other. And I did not realise that. I thought it was about them having an affair. And so I saw it at the Ritz Cinema when they had their 85 years of birthday, and they had a movie from every year for 85 days in a row or something like that. So I finally went and saw it, and it looked so – I think it's one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. Wow. And I would suggest watching it even for I don't think I've ever seen a woman dress better.
Ooh.
All the way through it.
Oh, I love that. What's it called?
In the Mood for Love.
In the Mood for Love.
But once again, it's repressed. You know, it's a repressed love affair. You know, so it's very quiet and it's all internal. But because I went in thinking it's about them having an affair, and then I realized it's about the spouses having an affair and them realizing and kind of growing feelings for each other.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I like those storylines.
All right. What do we have next?
Next. Did you watch the movie Men?
No.
Okay. That just gets a special mention because that was never recommended to us. We just did it because of it's in the name.
Okay. Yeah.
Literally called Men. So we were like, we'll watch it. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, I don't want to say anything then. Because I recommend watching it.
Okay.
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Right.
That's all I'll say.
Okay. I've heard pretty conflicting, not even reviews, just reports from people who have seen it. I know some people who thought it was fantastic, and then I know people who have not liked it at all.
Mm.
And I think it came out at a relatively busy period.
It came out at a weird time.
Yeah, and I just remember, like, I had choices to make, and it was like, I'm going to let this one go.
Yeah.
I do love Jessie Buckley. I think she is...
Oh, is she the main
lead? Yeah.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's fantastic.
She is. I've seen her in a season of Fargo. She was in the TV series Chernobyl, which I don't know about.
Was she?
Yes.
Who was she in Chernobyl?
Her husband was the guy, the fireman who went in.
And she was the one who...
had followed him to
no way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I didn't pick that.
Yeah, that's Jessie
Buckley. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's great.
And I saw her and she was in, God, did I watch that this year? The Maggie Gyllenhaal film, The Lost Daughter.
Oh,
that was 2021. Or maybe I only got around to it this year. And she plays the young version of Olivia Colman's character.
Okay.
And Dakota Johnson, and that is also has Ed Harris.
Ooh.
Not playing an authoritarian figure.
What?
I know. And Peter Sarsgaard, who is Maggie Gyllenhaal's husband.
Okay.
And and she is wonderful in that. Mm. Wonderful. So if you liked her,
I do.
Go and check that out. But that's Alex Garland as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
He also did Ex Machina, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah.
All right. That's good. Like, it's good to hear conflicting reports because that actually makes a movie in some ways more interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Next up for Halloween, we did Ghostbusters 2016. The reboot.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved it. I wasn't not expecting to, but there was so much controversy surrounding the movie when it came out. Like, it was so heavily panned, you know, all those Twitter, like, campaigns about killing the movie. And
this is the real big spike in toxic masculinity.
Was. It really, really was.
You know, because it's Trump. It's all of that stuff.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, I often think...
Oh, I didn't even put that together. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I often think about this, that Mad Max Fury Road, when that first came out, there was lots of pushback against that.
And really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because of Furiosa.
Absolutely. And so... But so that was 2015, and there were websites created about it and by all these men, you know, oh, you fucking... castrated
ruining
Max
it.
And all that. And I found all of it really funny.
It's very funny.
And I also found it really embarrassing. It's like, what are you doing?
Stop it.
Like,
it's just a movie.
But also, like...
Oh, obviously, everything you're saying is so wrong. But also, it's a movie. Like, that's the hill.
Like, calm down.
You're gonna die on?
But also, just... he took off his balls. I was like, what are you doing? You're just pointing out that you're a fucking soft cock. Do you know what I mean? Like, so anyway, I just thought it was hilarious. And then a year later, I realized that I was wrong to find it hilarious. There were more people like that out there. There were women who agreed with those men, and those people voted in Trump. You know? I know I'm making a direct correlation, which I cannot.
No, I think it's correct. Max Fury Road caused the election of Trump.
It inspired.
Men. It riled people up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just, what it did was it pointed out that there are people, you know, because you live in your own bubble.
You do.
Because everyone I know who saw that film thought it was a fucking masterpiece.
Right, yeah.
And Furiosa was super cool.
Just the fact that she was a woman was just, oh, that's cool. And that's
a disabled woman.
As much as you think about it. Yeah, and then you move on because it's a Mad Max movie and shit's happening. Like,
and it's great.
Imagine getting fixated on that fact.
It's great.
It's embarrassing.
And he's fucking great in it.
He's so good. There's your dick and balls if you're so obsessed with seeing them on the screen. He's got them.
Yeah.
Isn't that enough?
Like, you know, there's no subtlety in these men because they don't understand, like you know, don't get me wrong, his biggest badass moment is when he just disappears into the night and comes back covered in blood and someone has to point out it's not his blood and you go, fuck, what did he do? But for
what's he
people,
been up to?
You know, yeah, that's right. For people with an imagination, you go, well, I'm imagining some fucking heinous
crazy shit.
Yeah. But anyway.
It's people with no imagination. That's what it is. They're like, I just like to watch what I watch and it's on the screen and that's all I can consume.
But I'm taking away from the Ghostbusters film.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes.
I saw it at the cinema and, you know, it got pretty high with, you know, I can't say who, but it was Will Anderson. And
shock horror.
What? You know, feels fine saying it. And, we, you know, we went gold class and we had snacks and we had a really good time.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Especially for this movie.
We laughed heaps.
Yeah.
Can I will say that a certain female comedian kind of ruined the film for me.
By not liking it or by spoiling it?
No. She enjoyed the film, but she pointed out something about Chris Hemsworth's acting that now I can't not see.
Okay.
And has subsequently kind of put a – I haven't really enjoyed Chris Hemsworth in a movie for a long time because of that. You know when someone says, hey, have you noticed that? It's like, no, I haven't. Then you go, I can't stop watching
now
that.
Now I'll never not see that. Yeah. What was it?
Oh, just, you know, like, I don't want to tell you because if you enjoy
Chris Hemsworth. I'm not a huge Hemsworth stan.
He's good looking funny.
He's enjoyable. Yeah.
Which isn't that funny.
No. Yeah, you can't be hot and funny. Sorry.
Because you're coming from a, you know, like even in Thor Ragnarok when he always looks like he's about to laugh and it's all it's all a bit one note and
that's part of the that's the whimsy of it.
Yeah.
But that's
It's not, you know, like John Hamm can be funny. You know, but
true.
John Hamm also wasn't afraid to play himself as like a sex pest on
We trusted him from that.
Yeah.
So like we know you can go dark.
Yeah.
We know you can, you're not just like I'm the best or and I'm could, a 10 or, always. Or
he could play a fucking, you know, up himself. Like, you know, in 30 Rock when Liz Lemon just thinks he's.
I love his character. He's beautiful but he's an idiot.
But it's also a commentary on that kind of guy everything works out for you because you're beautiful.
And you have no skills because you've never had to develop.
Yeah, and like that is such an acute.
Oh, I respect that. Huge. Yeah.
So anyway.
But yeah, I don't see that.
But all the women are great.
Hemsworth.
I thought it was a fun film.
Oh, Ghostbusters? Yeah. So I wasn't expecting to not like it. I saw it at the movies when it came out and I just remember being like, that was funny. But I just don't think I had the real emotional connection and adoration for the cast that I do now.
Yeah, right.
And so, fuck, it is so funny. I recommend a rewatch. It is so gag heavy, but not in a gross way, like not in an exhausting way. It's just everything is so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. It never stops.
The director, Paul Feig, is a good director and a funny writer as well. You know, like Kate McKinnon's really funny.
Oh,
Leslie Jones is really funny.
Melissa McCarthy was my MVP.
Oh, yeah. Kristen Wiig is always...
always great.
Like, I feel like Kristen Wiig is now at a point where she's just so good we kind of take her a little bit for granted.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, unfortunately, as soon as I think of her, I think of her looking like a refugee from the movie Cats in Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's like she just escaped one bad film to end up in another bad film. But I like all of them, so yeah.
It was just it's a great comedy, and I'm just like, it's just such a bummer. Is that a dude movie? No, so we did it for, because it was a Halloween.
Oh, okay.
And we're thinking about just doing the original Ghostbusters, yeah. And then we're like, fuck it, we'll do one for us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was about to give proper big ups to whoever was the dude was who mentioned, yeah. But of course, there was no dude suggesting it, so which also really fits in with the ethos of the podcast.
It was the opposite. Yeah, I'm just so bummed that it was so, like, it had such a campaign against it and it kind of buried it because it left itself open for a sequel.
Yeah.
They had a sequel planned and they had to shelve it because of the uproar and just sucks. Like, if that movie was, we kind of just decided, like, if Ghostbusters 2016 was released now, post Me Too, post everything, you know, it would be so regarded, like, so well regarded.
Yeah. It had a budget of 144 and it made 229, which means it's not a bomb.
Okay.
But you kind of have to, like, they would have had to probably make 300 to break even.
To even consider. Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like the budget of the film, and then you take into account, you have to double it for publicity. And Steven Soderbergh talked about it with, I forget which film, it was the, he made a film that was like with Adam Driver, and it was a it was almost like a NASCAR version of what is that film? It's like a NASCAR version of the Ocean's movies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, do you know I'll see if I can find it quickly, and if I can't find it because there's nothing.
Is that the one where he was on a horse?
No,
that was for an ad, actually. He's riding a horse shirt.
No, this is Cars. You know what? I'm not going to find it, and I'm not going to put anyone else through listening to me go, while I'm trying to make space to find it. But anyway, and if you're listening and you're yelling at the podcast,
I'm sure
I can't hear you.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But anyway, he made this big argument when he was talking about making the film, and he said, you know what, we don't need to do that kind of budget. We need to think outside of the box. We don't need to double the budget to sell this movie. And he said, let's do it, you know, let's be more creative, let's throw less money at it, let's really do it the right way. And he discovered he was completely wrong.
I know.
You do. Logan Mama. Lucky.
What is it?
Logan Lucky in 2017.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
So he said on this podcast, he was just like, no,
such
you
a,
do.
You do.
You do need to throw in all this money. The movie
the
really tanked. So,
bummer.
Anyway.
It'd be so nice to find a new strategy.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I was like, and please let me hear that. Yeah, no. Okay.
Fuck.
Yeah. What's next?
Next, I mean, I don't know if you've touched on this on your podcast yet. We don't have to get into it because it could be a whole episode. But Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, no, I have not seen
it. You've not seen it? Okay.
No.
So this one was more, we were media cinemaed about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
No dude had made us watch it, but we were so hounded by the media about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everyone was, because of all the controversy that happened in production.
That is specifically why I did not bother to see it. Because
Because
I do, like, I want to try and watch it without the...
Separate to that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's a good call.
And I felt like, man, it was hard to avoid, wasn't it?
It really was.
Yeah.
And we watched it separately for enjoyment, and then we realized we'd both recently watched it, so we're like, let's just do an episode on it. And I was surprised. I was ready to hate it because of all of the terrible stuff that's being said about it, but I really loved this movie.
Okay, great.
I'd be, and maybe next time I come back on we can talk, because I'm interested to see what you think of it. I just really loved it. It's a psychological thriller, suspense, there's twists, it's beautiful to look at, like incredibly beautiful to look at.
Yep.
Harry Styles sucks, but he barely has any lines anyway, most of his
acting.
Is
he not good? Because I thought he was good in Dunkirk.
Oh, I never saw Dunkirk.
Oh, okay. I think he's legitimately
a good
actor.
I
think he's legitimately good in Dunkirk.
In that movie, okay.
Yeah. And he plays a bit of a fucking arsehole.
Really?
Well. Yeah. Oh, well,
good,
not an
Harry.
Arsehole, but someone who's quick to turn.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
He was, his main thing is like his accent's kind of all over the place. You start the movie thinking he's an American and then all of a sudden someone calls him British and you're like, oh, wait, he's meant to be British.
Oh,
just, but it's fine.
Just let him have his accent.
Yeah, I don't know what the backstory to that was. Right. But we both literally, Luke and I were about half an hour into the movie and then Harry Styles says quite a long line of dialogue and we both literally were like, I think that's the most I've heard him say this entire movie, which is fine. He's there. It's more Olivia Wilde and Florence Pugh. Like, to me, they're the leads of this film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Do you like Harry Styles in general?
I like his movie. Yeah. His solo work. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Harry Styles. I'm too old for his music.
Sure.
Not in like it's not directed at me, but. People who are into it, I go, great.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I'm actually really into all these young actors like or young performers like Harry, who's not who's a little bit older. But, you know, like Chalamet and Tom Holland. I think they all seem like interesting, talented,
stereotypes
nice boys.
As who, well, gorgeous men.
Yeah. Yep. And I think they're going to do interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I have a real love of Chris Pine.
Oh, yeah. He was incredible in it too.
I'm dying for he's in a movie called Hell or High Water with Jeff Bridges and that's a – he plays one of two brothers who are robbing banks in pretty much ghost towns in America because they've been wiped out by, you know, the economic downturn.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Bridges plays the sheriff who's going after him. And even that's – you know, even that sort of that sounds a little bit cliche, but there's a lot of stuff going on within those in the storyline, and it's a real comment on how people get disenfranchised and get left behind while it's kind of a thrilling chase.
Mm.
And he's magnificent, and I would love to see him get a really big, excellent film. Like, he's been good in the Star Trek films and stuff like that, you know, but I think he's got he's like Colin Farrell now gets, you know, Banshees of Inisherin and stuff like that. I reckon Chris Pine is someone who can sink his teeth into something.
There's just more in there,
you know. Maybe in a few more years as he gets a little bit older, the beautiful soft features become a bit craggy.
So soft. Yeah. Exactly, like, because he's the villain kind of character in this. But he is still very pretty.
Yeah.
But they play towards that.
Great.
He's the charismatic villain.
Florence Pugh. Fantastic.
At this era, like, it's set in, like, the aesthetic is like 1950s.
Right.
Kind of like.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And this is just like her, like the sun, like the housewife dress, the big coiffed hair, the red lips. Oh, this is her era.
She looks
incredible. And, of course, an incredible performance as well.
Okay. Oh, well, as I said, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, I feel like I just take too much baggage in to watch it.
Yeah, give it some time.
So I'll give it some time. Yeah. You know, it might be a good one over Christmas when you're a bit too tired to hold on to baggage.
absolutely. Okay, so before I come back for next time, I have to watch Interstellar and you have to watch Don't Worry, Darling.
You don't have to watch Interstellar.
I will.
Okay. But only if you like it. Please don't tell me if you don't like it. I can't cope with that.
Next time if I say I haven't watched Interstellar, that means I didn't like it.
If you specifically, the first next time I see you, if I say, hey, Alex, how are you doing? You say, I haven't seen Interstellar.
I haven't seen Interstellar, Justin.
I'll just pretend I didn't even hear that sentence and I'll say, what time are you on tonight?
Also, guess what? They deleted the movie. I can never watch it. It just is deleted from existence.
No, you don't even have to add that bit. You can just do the first bit and then I'll move on. It'll be fine.
And last one, this is a very recent one. We did it for our 200th with Mr. Will Anderson, is Groundhog Day.
Oh.
I came into that expecting it to be like a Caddyshack, like old comedy that's not for me.
Yep.
And I was ready to hate Bill Murray's character. I was like, he's just going to be a dick and they're going to make us think that he's not a dick, but he is. But no, it was completely
It is a little bit, like, it is a little bit him. He is a dick, but, you know, so did, you know, Will and I did he tell you that we did a we went to a when we were in LA, we went to this writer's thing? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and he talked about
oh, wait, no, he didn't tell us that. No, I was thinking of the other one. He said he went to watch something at the Arclight and Tarantino sat next to him.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think I heard that one.
No, we this guy who had worked, I think he worked on Groundhog Day and talked about how, like, how many days do you think go past?
Had that discussion. Yeah. I had said a few months.
Yeah.
Maybe a year.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like 34 years or something.
Oh, well, like, you know, it could be like 10,000.
Oh, right. Yeah. Originally that was the intention, I think.
Like, you know.
Oh, my God.
Actually, let's, yeah, it's an interesting film and it also, like, I kind of think, the moment, there are 38 days actually shown on the screen as well as 414 days mentioned in the film and a huge 11,931 days, which Phil spends learning a host of new talents and interests.
Wow.
Based on this theory, it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert in any given subject. So, you know, so that's why that moment at the end when he realizes that everything's broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like the trap or whatever it is broken. It's like you understand the emotion.
The incredible, yeah.
Yeah.
We were saying, like, because he has to keep, when he does realize that it's been broken and it's the next day, because Annie McDowell's in his bed, he has to, like, his character has to not freak her the fuck out because she doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So he has to, like, do this, like, he's just like, oh, like, so relieved.
Yeah.
But we're like, I'm sure if he was by himself, he would be fucking screaming from the rooftops and stuff.
Yeah.
The poor guy has to keep it in together.
Yeah.
Because old Andy's there.
Well, that's funny. You know, like, you know, Groundhog Day plus one.
Yeah.
Like, what happens the day after? Is he, like...
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that.
He's got to be insane.
He must be insane. Like, there is... He needs to get into therapy, like, stat, if he's going to have any semblance of a regular life after this.
It'd be funny to make a movie about a therapist, and it's the movie's about the therapist, and then about 15 minutes in, you realise the therapist starts to... is having a problem with the patient, and that patient is Bill Murray's character, who has been telling them all this stuff, and then that starts to wobble time for them.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly sweet film.
Yeah, it was that's where it was. It was surprisingly sweet. I expected
quite dark.
I really expected it to just be like a silly comedy where he treats women like crap and then stops treating women like crap, but it was so much more than that.
The Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Role.
Yeah.
you're not really a Bill Murray fan?
I used to be. Yeah. I think he's fine. Yeah, I can see the appeal. I loved him in Zombieland where he plays. I love that kind of that side of Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched any Sofia Coppola films?
No, but we're planning to soon.
Yeah.
We want to watch Lost in Translation.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see what you think of that film. Mm. Because also, like, we did it, Ben and I watched all of her films.
Oh, yeah.
For this podcast. Mm. And I'd watched, because I was very cognizant of, after we did Nolan, I just didn't want to do, you know, I didn't want it to be two dudes with dicks talking about movies made by dudes with dicks, which is the spin-off of your podcast.
Yes,
So, you know, it's like I'd seen half of her films.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, well, let's do Sofia Coppola. And she's now one of my favorite directors. Like, because I was watching them so closely. And I think her films are hilarious, but they're not joke hilarious. They're situations. They're the way they're edited. You know, it's like you see a character having a moment where you think, oh, they're going through a really tough period, and then there's a hard cut to them just having heaps of fun. And that to me is super funny.
Yeah,
because in the lead up you're going, oh God, they're really struggling, aren't they? No, there's two women dancing on poles in their bedroom.
Yeah.
You know? and that to me is a statement as well. But that I'll be curious to know what you think, because that's her first film. And
was it?
Yeah.
Oh, and okay.
I still think it's fantastic. Yeah. Like, but also it kind of, you know, it, like, sometimes people love an actor and then people come in and go, yeah, but this character in this film is flawed in these ways.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, that doesn't negate it. That's like the character is.
That's the purpose.
Yeah, they're flawed.
Yeah.
But Groundhog Day is great. And you know, you can't do a time repeating movie now without it being called a Groundhog Day.
Yeah, well, like Palm Springs, did you see?
Yeah, which was great.
It's Groundhog Day Part 2.
But it essentially is.
But I love that movie, yeah.
Yeah, oh man, that was a fun film. Great. Oh, well, that's great.
Well, they're some of the ones that have surprised me.
Yeah, bring them up.
I really like doing this exercise because it makes me like actually sit back and take stock of the movies that we've done.
Yeah.
And how much of them that I actually did like. Because I never just sit through and just go back through and like be like, I liked that one, I didn't.
Well, you know, it's more
just a feeling. So it's nice to actually look at it.
Oh, yeah. I love this as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also, like, I'm always fascinated by the films that you don't like as well. When you're making a podcast, once it's up, you got to make another podcast.
Yeah.
Like you're moving through.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're churning through stuff.
Weekly, yeah.
How many films do you think you've seen this year?
However many episodes of the podcast
we've done. Do you not watch movies that
you don't podcast about? Well, I was always more of a TV show person myself before the pod. But now, even with the pod, it's like it's movies, it's... We love it, but movies have become a bit of a homework now.
Yeah, for sure.
But if there is definitely a movie that I'm drawn to that I want to watch, like a Don't Worry, Darling, I just watch that to watch it.
Yeah.
It just turned out that we ended up doing an episode on it. So maybe however many movies we've done plus five I might have seen.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I'm kind of keeping a list for because I thought it might be fun at the start of next year when things are, you know, quiet, just do your favorite movies of the previous year and the
absolutely
blah,
you should
blah, blah.
Do that every year.
And I think I'm up over 90 films.
Wow.
I think I've watched 22 TV series.
Wow.
I think I've managed to squeeze in 11 books.
See, books is my new project. I want to get back into reading. I bought a book.
Yeah.
It was delivered yesterday. It's great. On my bedside table. I need to.
This will sound really...
please.
But you have to schedule in time to read.
Yes.
And remember that your job as a comedian is to work with words. So it's actually a part of your job.
Oh, so, I like that.
Because sometimes reading you can mistake reading for not doing anything, but it's not. You're feeding your imagination. You're seeing how different words are put together.
Sentences are structured.
Yeah.
Because, I've just like, same as like so many other people, once smartphones came into existence, I just started reading Twitter at night instead of a book before bed. So,
well, Twitter is fucking, you can barely put it down at the moment. It's a page
turner.
That's,
why did I choose now to want to start reading books? It's like, it's so funny at the moment. But if it dies, then I've got books.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about the Twitter thing? Because I have to be honest, I have spent so much time on Twitter, like I don't mean physical time, but over the course of time, cultivating a very specific kind of feed,
yes.
And because I've never done kind of high profile work, like, you know, I always think about, I remember Eddie Perfect on Facebook getting abused by this woman about his politics. I don't follow you for your politics. I follow you because I like you in Offspring. And
whoa.
It's like, I found that fascinating because that's what Eddie Perfect was.
Was, yeah.
And then so I've never done anything like that. So I don't, anyone who follows me, I would say.
Already knows your politics, probably.
Yeah, and knows me.
Comedy, yeah.
You know, so
stand-up.
It's rare, you know, like I've had my first lot of abuse on social media in ages, and that's through the advertising of the show because the live shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, advertising goes further than your
following
and then you just get people if you want
to get more of that, it's really exciting because YouTube has started their own Reels shorts kind of situation.
Oh, right.
So you can upload just your regular 1 minute Instagram Reel stand-up comedy video to YouTube now. So it opens you up to a whole new slew of women aren't funny comments.
Yeah, right. So good.
If you want to get more, if you want to spread the hate, go to YouTube Shorts.
Maybe I should, because maybe I could divert some of the female hate.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'll take a few. I'll take some abuse to just give you guys a little bit of a break from all of that
shit. Thank you. But yeah, Twitter's.
I'm a bit sad to see it go down.
I would be really sad if I was just talking to a few people the other day about it. I would be really sad to see it go because I'm the same as you. I've spent the last 15 years, I think, I've been on Twitter more.
Yeah.
Literally cultivating a perfect feed. Like that 15 years of like, I'm not going to sign up to whatever Discord or something and start all over again.
Oh my God. I looked at Mastodon. And after 3 minutes, like nearly burst into tears and had to lay down and poop myself. I was overwhelmed.
No, I have no interest. I've heard other podcasts talking about it. Like no interest.
It's like, what is happening here?
So I'll be, hopefully it stays.
Yeah.
I'd be really sad to see it go.
I've had nice interactions. Like, you know, I put up something about the Banshees of Inisherin. And, you know, I did not tag anyone apart from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, hey, the leads are fantastic. But I mentioned the actress and I mentioned Barry Keoghan, who I said, don't sleep on those two. They are just as fantastic as the leads. And then Barry Keoghan is... liked it and retweeted it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you don't get that and you go, any oh, that's other nice. Platform. Yeah, that's what I fucking love Twitter. I met so many comedians through Twitter. Beck and I met through Twitter.
Yeah.
We said this on our pod the other day, but Dave Anthony retweeted Beck one time. This is before she'd even moved from Perth. She was still living in Perth. He just randomly retweeted something that she'd tweeted and I was like, oh, that's so funny. And also was like, oh, that's, she's a Sydney comedian. Who's that? And so then we followed each other and like that's how we connected.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll be really sad to see it go.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted. What were the – you had some shout-out movies. Was that what you were about to do?
No shout-out movies.
No?
No, that was all my movies.
That was all the movies?
No, and any other movie does not get a shout out.
Do you want to? What was the movie that was the most? I'm always tentative to ask you this. What was the movie that was the most talked up that you and Beck
that
watched
we didn't
that you
like
went, Jesus Christ, it, what
since
did I
March,
just experience?
Let me just have a quick scroll. Caddyshack, probably.
Oh yeah.
I
like that. That makes total sense to me. Not that it has to, but I completely understand where you're coming from with that.
We've actually had a really good run. Oh, The Grey Man. Did you watch that?
No.
No, I don't.
No, I had... dumb. I had... I have just no interest in seeing it.
No.
And I really love Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
And I really love... Chris Evans?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Oh,
yeah. To go from The Grey Man to Don't Worry, Darling. Poor Chris.
Right. Oh, no, that's a different Chris.
Oh, wait.
It
Chris Pine.
Yeah, yeah. It's all right.
That's me.
There's a lot of Chris's out there. Don't
that's
don't feel
head.
Bad
and
about
they're
that.
They're all too pretty. You know what?
They're all too pretty.
There's been no I hated this movie.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a win.
Actually, that is a big win. See, that's what this is nice to go back and take stock.
Right.
Because week to week, sometimes I get really just like, oh, I have to watch another, even though it's self-imposed. So it's nice to go back and be like, oh, actually, we've had a really good run.
Well, it might
it's been
be
an enjoyable experience.
So this is where I wonder if, you know, say we can work out that we go to the Ritz and we watch Riders of the Lost Ark.
Sure.
Maybe you have a completely different experience with that film now. Like,
But probably not, just because I do remember the one main takeaway we had from that movie, which was that Indiana Jones and Marion's age difference was not.
Yeah, but it was different times.
Different times is fictional far off land.
Yeah, it was called the 1930s. And, it was, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it wasn't awful, but it was definitively different times. She was right, you know. She knew what she was doing. Indiana said so.
Yeah, he told us. It's fine.
It's so funny because... Like, you know, I was young when I saw that. I was like 11, so you just don't even flinch.
I remember you and I had a conversation about that before we'd started the podcast, back when we were working on...
It was Cal Wilson who started it, because she watched it and pointed that out. And I was like, she put it on Twitter. And I just looked and went...
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I've seen this movie so many times and I've just never clocked it.
Totally.
Because it's so part of the
part
fabric.
Of the... Yeah. It's the setup, we move on.
Yeah, but they work it out at the end. So, you know, whatever. You know? Things are fine. All right, that was great. Thank you so much.
Sorry for talking for so long.
I know. I genuinely love hearing the films that have taken you by surprise.
Oh, yay.
And, you know, there's a couple for me to go and check out as well. Ah, so that's very exciting.
Never happens to me, so that's nice.
Yeah, it's really great.
Thank you, podcast.
I'm always up for, you know, recommendations.
Yeah,
I think that's great. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter. I mean... Maybe. Fingers crossed. Yep. And Instagram, I'm at AlexJ1, the number one. And yeah, Dude Cinema Podcast. And I'm on Facebook, AlexJ as well.
Yeah, that's great. Mm. All right. Well, let's get off the podcast and work out. Maybe if we go and see Raiders of the Lost Ark, mm-hmm. I know when that scene's coming up and I'll just distract you for a moment.
Yeah,
and
then, like, Alex, look over there.
Yeah, and then we can just get back to enjoying it.
Nice.
Thank you to Alex J for joining me today. As I said at the top, I love these podcasts, and Alex and I are going to try and make our schedules line up better to do more stuff in the future. I really enjoy working with her, and she's one of the most popular guests that we have here, so I'd like to do more with her. And I just enjoy hanging out with her, so that's a big deal as well, right? A big thank you to Jess for being our Patreon subscriber of the episode. I hope you enjoyed hearing about Alex's surprise love of certain movies. Give me a call, Jess. Let me know what you think. Anyway, if you'd like an episode dedicated to you along with bonus podcasts, etc., head to patreon.com/JustinHamilton_ Big Squid, and you will find that tier that suits you. A quick note for everyone in Adelaide, I am returning to the Adelaide Fringe for the first time since 2020. That's crazy. I'm just doing a little run of my new show, Little Victories. It will be for 1 week only at the Rhino Room, and I'm looking forward to it. It'll just be 5 nights, and essentially it just gives me an excuse to come home and hang out with all of you and see you all, and I have to say, I really love my new show. It's so much fun, and this is honestly the most I've enjoyed stand-up in probably 10 years. Like, I'm really digging it, and I think it's because I've found the sweet spot in not doing it too much. And I know that sounds weird, right? But, you know, you can overgorge on chocolate, and over the years, you know, I used to do hundreds of gigs a year, and, you know, reducing it to... I don't know. How many have I done this year? 15? 16 gigs? That's all I've done. And it's been great. And I've really loved it. And to be honest, I think I've been at full capacity. I feel like I'm really in control of how good things are. So it's nice to feel very confident about something that for a while there I thought, oh God, stand up. Yuck. But it's the opposite. I've fallen back in love with it, and we're spooning. That's right. Stand up and I are spooning on cool nights. So anyway, 1 week only at the Rhino Room. Head to comedy.com.au and click on my tile. Ignore all the other tiles of all those other comedians. What a bunch of hacks. Fuck those guys and girls and in between. Come and click on mine and come and see me at the Adelaide Fringe. I'll be back with a new Chitter Chatter on Monday, and then we have a double author episode. Joshua Brandon talking about his book with William Shatner, Boldly Go, and then a chat with some guy called Will Anderson about his book, I Am Not Fine, Thanks. I'm feeling pretty positive today, feeling good, getting close to the end of the year. So let's finish with a beautiful quote from Carl Sagan. The world is so exquisite with so much love and moral depth that there is no reason to deceive ourselves with pretty stories for where there's little good evidence. Far better, it seems to me, in our vulnerability, is to look death in the eye and to be grateful every day for the brief but magnificent opportunity that life provides. Until then.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.